We're going to start us off today with a gold nugget. I found it in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 9. It goes like this. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Deceive the whole world. The very sound of the word deceive causes resentment. No one wants to admit to having been deceived, but that is what the Bible says is true of some Christians. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, Paul says, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. It's clear here that some genuine Christians are deceived. You cannot depart from the faith unless you have once belonged to the faith. Repulsive as it may sound, there are those who have been cunningly and maliciously deceived. As Eve was deceived by the serpent, so the child of God can be misled by the deceiver, by his strategy. Scriptures tell us, as the time approaches for the final overthrow of Satan, his wrath will increase. His deceptions will multiply. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. We are living in those days. Tell me, what church is it that has not been shaken to its foundation by schisms and conflicts between church members as a result of satanic deception? What church does not have members who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrines? A reading of Scripture reveals that the armies of the invisible world are doing their utmost to hinder the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Deception takes various forms. There is the deception of the ungenerated, of the weak Christians, and of the spiritual believer. In each case, Satan has a special approach, but the end result is the same. The soul deceived, and Satan's purpose has been accomplished. It is not hard to understand how the unregenerate can be deceived. As sons of disobedience, their pathway of life follows the course of this world. And the Christian, the born-again believer, is deceived, who thinks that he can do whatever he wishes and yet not be punished by God. The Christian is deceived if he thinks he does not need to put into practice that which he has learned of Christian truth. If these are not enough to enslave a carnal believer, Satan has other devices to deceive, such as many false prophets that will arise and shall deceive many. It's lesson time now. Scoot up your chair and lean in. Our lesson today begins in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we speak of the creation of the earth, we cannot ignore the controversy involved in this creation. But did you know that the controversy is not with God's people? Israel, all through their life, was aware that God created the heavens and the earth. This was never a controversy. They never argued the point, and neither does the writers of the Bible. When they speak of God creating the heavens and the earth. They're not answering a controversial question. They're stating a fact. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 28, Isaiah asked them, "Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that has no might, he increases strength." Isaiah was not answering an argument of whether God had created the earth or not. He was stating a fact that would cause the people to realize how powerful God was. He was extolling the power of God and how that he gives power to those that are weak and how that he gives strength to those that have no strength. Jeremiah chapter 10 reads like this: "He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion." Jeremiah wasn't answering an atheist's question about the creation of God. He was demonstrating the power of God. It was by God's power that he made the earth. And not only did he make the earth, it was by his wisdom that he established the world. God is wise. When he established the world, he did it as a wise creator, a wise establisher. He established the sun, the moon, the stars in the heaven. He established the trees with seed to reproduce. He established animals that could reproduce themselves. This shows the wisdom of God. He didn't have to continuously create animals or create people. God is an all-wise God. And not only that, Jeremiah says he stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Jeremiah is telling us that God is sovereign. It was his sovereign will and by his own discretion that God spread forth the heavens. And then Jeremiah says, he utters his voice, "There is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures." God causes the lightning. God makes it rain. I remember a while back when Houston, Texas received about 50 inches of rain in just a few hours. I heard a politician say, "God didn't send that rain to Houston, Texas. We did." When I heard that, I thought to myself, if we can make it rain in Houston, Texas, why can't we make it rain on the sands of the deserts in Africa so that the people can grow crops and feed themselves? If we can make it rain in Houston, why do we have droughts in other parts of the country? Why can't we make it rain there? No one can answer that question. We can make it rain in Houston, but can't make it rain in the desert. God makes lightning with rain. In the Old Testament, there was never a doubt amongst God's people whether God created the heavens and the earth. It was never a controversy. Even in the New Testament, there was no controversy. All of God's true people knew that God created the heavens and the earth. John said, All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John wasn't trying to end an argument with these words. He was stating a fact. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in the heavens and that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Paul was just stating the facts, not arguing a point. This subject of creation is not a debatable subject for me. I have oft times discussed it. I have oft times wondered, but I have never doubted the Bible story of the creation. I believe that it happened. And you may say, how can you believe that? Well, I like the words that Paul used to describe how we believe that. Paul said in Hebrews 11, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How do I understand the creation of this universe? By faith, I understand it. I believe it. I choose to believe God's word. And it is true. God said it, and I believe it. It's true whether I believe it or not. So why not believe the truth? Well, the old clock on the wall has caught up with me again. If someone would ask me why I do not believe in the evolutionary theory, I would simply say, it is written, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You can refer back to it is written for many of the things that people will ask you about. You believe them simply because it is written.